Good morning, once again. We are studying the book of Romans, and we find ourselves in Romans chapter 12. We talked about verses 1 and 2 last week, and so we're just going to jump right into Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3 this morning. I would encourage you to open your Bible at Romans chapter 12. You got a bulletin, you can open it up to take some notes, and we're just going to jump into God's Word this morning. Who's excited about being in Romans chapter 12 today? Anybody excited about that out there? Okay, absolutely. Paul says this: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Now, we come across this section of Scripture, and let me just say, maybe you're here this morning and you just thought, you know, I'll just go to church today. Or maybe you don't quite know what you believe in God, or you're wrestling with your beliefs. That's certainly fine. We're glad you're here. But this passage in Romans 12 is written to Christians. And not just written to Christians, this passage in Romans 12 addresses how the church should operate. And it's teaching us how to be a church together. Now, yesterday, I had the opportunity, thanks to some generosity from my good friend Andy and Vicky Rao, they gave me tickets to the Ohio State game. Now, I've had lots of offers for tickets in the past, and usually I say, well, I'm preaching Saturday, I can't do it, but for some reason, I just felt good about that. So yesterday, my brother Dan and I, here's Dan, my brother, we went to the game yesterday together and went to go watch Ohio State struggle against Florida A&M. We were there in the stadium, and actually I got to sit next to Ken. Ken, good to see you there. Sat next to him in the stadium and in church today, so good to see you, Ken, absolutely. But I learned some things going to the game yesterday. I haven't been to a game in a few years, and I remembered certain things. I saw someone going to the game dressed in pom-poms. They look like this, completely dressed in pom-poms. Then I sat in the section with this guy, who just looked like a complete nut. I think he's going for that look, actually. And then I saw people who had painted their bodies various colors. And I thought about this. I thought to myself, wow, these fans are absolutely sold out. When you paint your body, you make a certain statement about your interest in what's happening. And then I thought to myself this crazy question. You know, these fans are sold out to go cheer for their team and to hope to see 11 touchdowns, it happened, a record, and they're there for sports entertainment, which is great. There's nothing wrong with sports or entertainment, but then I thought about us, the church, and I thought about, wow, how sold out are you when you dress in pom-poms? Are you Grimace? I don't know. Pom-pom guy? No idea. But the message is, I am sold out. Here's my question for you. Are you sold out? Are you sold out for Christ? Listen, I don't want anyone coming next week with Jesus painted on your chest. I'm not looking for that. We're not looking for that outward sign. We're looking for an inward sign that says, I am sold out for Jesus Christ. I'm sold out for my faith. And Paul talks to us as a church, and he says these things to each of us. Now listen to what he's saying. It's very important. Here's what he says. "For by the grace given me," Paul's taking a stand. "I've been given grace by God so I can say this to you. To say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Here's what he's saying. When Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, he's saying this very clearly. It's not all about you. If you think to yourself, it's all about me. It's about me when I'm waiting in line. People ahead of me, get out of the way. I'm waiting in line. If you're in traffic and you're thinking, it's all about me. Or you're walking to church, you're thinking, it's all about me. Then you've got things wrong. Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. This is a point that we talked about last week in Romans 12, 2, where it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of you, you might have grown up in a family or a society that basically told you it's all about you. And the transforming work of God is to teach you it's not all about you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. But then Paul says this. Don't miss it. Paul says, here's the second part of the verse again. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Could you guys say sober judgment? Here's what that means, sober judgment. It means don't see yourself more highly than you should or more lowly than you should. Think of yourself as you actually are. How do you measure that? Hey, Apostle Paul, how do I measure how I should see myself? Here's what he says. You do it by faith. As you grow stronger in your faith, you measure yourself against the faith that you have. And as your faith grows, you think more highly. Wow, I see myself growing. I feel great about that. When your faith is small, have sober judgment about where you are. Don't judge yourself based on your material possessions or your outer beauty. Judge yourself based on the faith that God has given to you. Now imagine this. Imagine a church where the idea was, it's all about me. What would it look like if we went to a church that really focused on ourselves and our preferences? Here's a little view of what that church might look like. Let's go ahead and lower the lights and we're just going to watch this video real fast.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys. Right?
Come here. Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Me Church, where it's all about you. That's not the idea. Paul's not saying, hey, we should all go to me churches where it's all about us and about what we're doing. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. And then he goes on and says this, and this is really important. This is really important and involves every one of us in this room. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. He's making a great analogy. The analogy he's making is the human body. If you've got a human body, just give me a... Okay, good. You got a human body. The human body and the church, he's comparing them. Each human body is only one body, but it has many members. My body has hands, and I have eyes and ears, and I have many members of my body. Look at verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and we are, in fact, the body of Christ. And each member belongs to all the others. Now, Paul's saying something significant. He's saying we are one body. All of us together, we're one body, but we have different members and different jobs to do. Here's why we're one body. He says this, one body with different members to accomplish our purpose, our mission. Our mission is that people would know about the love of Christ. That's what it says in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations and then teach them to obey everything I taught you. That's our mission. We are one body with different members. Now, right now, just listen. Right now in our service, we have different parts of our body working. My part of the body is to speak. So I'm sort of the mouth. I wouldn't want that to become a new nickname for me, I hope. My uncle's a pastor in Florida, and he said they call him the mouth in his church. And I was like, wow. I won't use that example. Anyway, right now I'm being the mouth, but right now someone's back in the nursery, and as they're picking up a small, beautiful child to sniff that diaper, they're being the hands. They're the hands. When you guys walked in, you came in and you saw a host team, and the host team greeted you, and they said, hey, welcome to church. We're glad you're here. And when they shook your hand, they were the hand of Christ. Right now, this past weekend, Bobby Tucker. How many of you guys remember Bobby? Bobby led music for us. Bobby was the feet of Christ as he was in Africa this past week drilling a well so they could have fresh water in the name of Jesus. You see, we're different parts of the body. We are different members, but we have one mission, that people would know about Jesus and learn to obey him, make disciples. And then number two, here's the second idea Paul gives us. We are one body that belongs to each other. Get that. You belong to me and I belong to you. I'm here to serve you and you're here to also serve me. We belong to each other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a book called Life Together. It's about how Christians live in Christian community together. It's about how Christians can live together. Look what he says about this passage. It's so fascinating. He says, every act of self-discipline by a Christian is also a service to the community. Now stop right there. Wait, you might understand what he's saying is that if you wake up in the morning and you pray and study God's word, you're not just doing an act for yourself, you're serving the entire church. Because as you grow and mature, all of us are growing and maturing. And then he says this, don't miss it. Conversely, he says, there is no sin in thought or word or deed, no matter how personal or secret, that does not harm the whole community. Now stop. Some of you may be engaged in things that are secret and private. And you think nobody knows about it. It doesn't affect anybody else. But he says here, what you do in secret and private affects all of us. When the cause of an illness gets into one's body, whether or not anyone knows where it comes from, or in what member it has been lodged, the body is made ill. This is the appropriate metaphor for the Christian community. Look what he says next. Every member serves the whole body, contributing either to its health or to its ruin. For we are members of one body, not only when we want to be, but in our whole existence. This is not a theory, but a spiritual reality that is often experienced in the Christian community with shocking clarity, sometimes destructively. Now let's stop right there. All of you know this. All of you know that when you hear about a famous Christian pastor or a famous Christian leader who has some sin and they fall and the whole nation gawks at that person, all of us are affected. Every one of us is affected. He says sometimes destructively, but also, don't miss this, sometimes beneficially. You see, there are people in this room who are working, that we're all working together, that we can all benefit from what's happened because we are one body together. Do you understand that? Do you get that idea that we're one body? How does this one body work together to accomplish its mission? Paul goes on in verse 6 and he says the very next thing. Here's an important thing. We have different gifts. There are gifts that have been given to us to serve the body of Christ. Now, last night, there was a small girl that came in the room. She was probably 4 years old, and she walked up to me and she said, Pastor Tom, whose birthday is it? Because she saw all the gifts that are up here. This morning, somebody said, somebody a little frustrated, are we already talking about Christmas? Because there's gifts, you know, right here. I said, no, we're not talking about Christmas. In fact, the gifts that you see all around the platform are just to remind you that we have been given gifts. Now, this should be important to all of you because you have been given something very special by God. You've been given gifts. And the gifts you've been given by the Holy Spirit are for you, but they're certainly for every one of us that would benefit the entire church. The gifts that you personally have been given. Let's just talk about some basics about spiritual gifts. A question like this is an important question. Hey, Pastor Tom, how many spiritual gifts are there that we see in the Bible? 6 passages in the New Testament list spiritual gifts. And there are 20 different gifts that are listed. There's one large gift, 2 prominent lists of gifts. One list is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the second long list is in Romans chapter 12. Now, we're studying Romans chapter 12, so we're going to go in detail into some of these gifts, but let's just take a moment and look at the gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's gifts that Paul says these are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Some have a gift of a word of wisdom. They're a person that God speaks to and gives them a word, a wise word for others to help them in time of crisis. Others, there's a word of knowledge, a specific word that God gives to benefit others. Look at number 3, the gift of faith. Who'd love to have the gift of faith? Anybody out there, wouldn't you want to have that? That you have more faith in your life as you're growing? Gifts of healing, I'll tell you a story. At the end of our service, as we have our healing prayer team go back into the prayer room and they receive people for prayer. Last night, a woman went back in the prayer room for prayer and she told the prayer team that she suffers from fibromyalgia and that when she wakes up in the morning, all day long, she's in pain. That she could barely even bend over and that she lives her life, although she takes medication, she lives her life with lots and lots of pain. The prayer team just very simply laid hands on her and they prayed for her. And within a moment or two after that prayer, she began to notice a difference in her body. And within a few minutes, she said, for the first time in years, right now, at this moment, it's as if I have no pain in my body whatsoever. Hey, how about a hand for that? It was God's working in her life. Now, I'm not sure how she's feeling this morning, but last night she felt the touch of God in that way. Gift number 5, the working of miracles. Gift number 6 is prophecy. We'll talk about that in the Romans 12 gifts. Gift number 7, distinguishing between spirits. That's a spiritual gift of discerning when demons or when angels are involved in certain situations. And number 8 and 9 go together, the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, some say when they look at this list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, they say, well, these gifts were for back in the first century. These gifts don't really apply today. But let me tell you what we believe about these gifts. We believe all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating today for the benefit of the church and the members that are there. Let me point you out to an expert. This is Wayne Grudem. How many of you guys have heard of Wayne Grudem ever before in your life? Wayne Grudem is an expert on evangelical theology. He actually went to Harvard University, also Cambridge. He's got a degree from Westminster Divinity School. And he actually was the central editor for the ESV translation of the Bible. And Wayne Grudem addresses this issue about spiritual gifts. And look what he says. Spiritual gifts are given to equip the church to carry out its mission until Christ returns. Paul tells the Corinthians, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:7. Here he connects the possession of spiritual gifts with the period of church history, the period between Christ's ascension and his return. All the gifts will be in operation until Christ returns. That's what Wayne Grudem teaches us, and I certainly am with him on this idea. But let's go to the gifts we see in Romans chapter 12, and here's the first one. Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Now, this might be confusing. We don't talk a lot about prophecy in church, and we don't use this language a lot, but what does it mean to prophesy? Here's John Stott is a Bible expert. He says this, prophesying is speaking under divine inspiration. I'll tell you a story. This morning, I was driving to church, And like I always do on Sunday morning. And I was driving down Newark Granville Road, and I had this strange thing happen. I was in prayer for the services this morning. As I was driving, I had a memory of someone who was a member in this church years and years ago. Now, this person and I didn't have a close relationship. We didn't have a close friendship. They were a member here years ago. They moved off to North Carolina. They live far away. And I had a memory about that person, and I immediately felt God tell me, pray for that man. He is in a moment of struggle and difficulty. And so I just, as I'm driving down the road, I close my eyes. Just kidding. Just want to see if you're all listening there on that one. As I'm driving the road, God, I remember this person, a member here years ago, lives in North Carolina, and God said, he's struggling. Pray for him. And so I began to pray for him specifically. I'm going to try and find his phone number somehow so I can call him later and say, hey, what's going on? I'm praying for you. That's a moment where I was praying for him, speaking under divine inspiration, prophesying. Now, you might think for a second, appropriately, you might think, gosh, Tom, if we're speaking under divine inspiration, well, what about the Bible? Could someone come and say, well, I've had a prophecy and my prophecy is now changing what the Bible says? No, that's ridiculous. Nothing we ever say here would change the truth of God's word. The Bible is the foundation of all that we do. In fact, the New Testament talks about prophecy and it gives us two instructions. It says, weigh and test anything that's said to you. Weigh it and test it. That's a wise thing to do. Let's go on to the next gift that we see. The next gift Paul mentions is the gift of serving. Could you guys say serving? Serving, the gift of serving. The gift of serving is the word diakonia. Now, I used to come across these Greek words years ago, and I thought, you know, these Greek words are hard to pronounce and hard to understand, and my daughter at home, little Ella, you know, she has this great ability to speak and to understand languages like Greek. And so I began doing videos of Ella her first videos were pronouncing the words. And I have an old video of Ella 3 years ago pronouncing this Greek word. It only took a second. I think you'll enjoy it. Here's little Ella telling us how to pronounce this word. Here she is.
My name is Ella. The word is diakonia. Diakonia. Bye.
That might be the very first Ella video of all time, right there. That might be the first one. Diakonia, what's it mean? Diakonia is the gift of service. It is manifested in every sort of practical help that Christians can give one another in Jesus' name. The gift of serving. Let me tell you a story about the gift of serving. When I was in high school, just a few years ago, this church began to grow. We had about 15 to 20 kids in our youth group. And my dad was a pastor of the church, and he had a connection with a church in Alabama. And that church in Alabama was going to a youth camp in Tennessee. And so my dad made a big rallying call for all of us youth to go to a youth retreat happening in Tennessee. And a lot of us, we were all, you know, kind of in a secular realm and weren't really, you know, necessarily growing spiritually. And we went to these church vans that we rented, and we drove down to Tennessee to this church camp. And we got to this church camp, and there were some serious on fire Christian kids in this church camp. And we walked in, all of us were from Granville High School, and we were all high school students. We walked in, and there was kids, they had t-shirts about Jesus, and they're all talking about Jesus and kind of going crazy. And we began to kind of think, wow, this is a little crazy. Our little group from Granville, Ohio would sit on the back row of all this worship time, and these Christian kids would go crazy, and they'd be worshiping God. And my mom was there helping out as a counselor, and she could tell that we were feeling a little bit disconnected from the whole group. And so she went to a grocery store in Tennessee as a gift of serving. She's a servant, my mom. And she bought every kind of horrible junk food that a teenage kid would love. And she filled the van up with it. She got pop and bottled water and all these snacks and different things, candy and whatever. And then she came to the group of boys, about seven boys of us, and she said, hey, why don't you guys come with me? And we went back and we got in the van, and she said, you know, I got you guys some snacks. And the way to a teenage boy's heart is through his stomach, as we all know. And so we started eating these snacks, and we're drinking pop and eating snacks, and we're all starting to feel better. And she said, how are you guys feeling about this camp? And we said, oh, Mom, we don't like it. They're all Jesus freaks here, and they're all crazy, and, you know, it's all going nuts. And we kept eating those snacks and, you know, little sugar in the blood. And she said, I just wish that you guys would try your best to fit in. And we said, oh, more snacks, more snacks. Okay, we can do that. And she said, as long as you're trying, I'm going to fill up this van with snacks for all of you. And we said, we can try really hard. And her gift of serving was to provide us with something that we felt we wanted or needed, but it directly affected our attitude. You see, the gift of service was her serving us in that way, and it turned around our attitude about that camp. Now, you can see people all around with the gift of serving. They love to serve others. How many guys here might even raise your hand and say, you think you know someone who has the gift of service? Just raise your hand. They love serving others. Absolutely. Let's go on to the next gift. This is easy to understand. Romans chapter 12 gift is teaching. Paul says, if your gift is teaching, then teach. Now, the first gift we mentioned was prophesying, and the second gift we mentioned was serving. I'll go ahead and put that up here with the other gifts. And then we come across this gift that's called the gift of teaching. And the gift of teaching, I think we all understand pretty clearly what that's about. How many guys, just raise your hand if this is true for you. You went to school and you had a teacher, and the teacher that you had was not a skilled at teaching. Anybody ever had that happen where you went to school and you're like, why did you get into this? What are you doing? Now, if you're a homeschooler, don't raise your hand at this time. That'd be a really bad idea right now. Right, but I remember being in school and I had this teacher and we'd go in, it was in high school, and we'd go in and he would pop in a new tape every class. Here's another tape. You can watch a movie about what I should be teaching you right now. And we could tell that this person was not interested in teaching. But Paul says there's a spiritual gift that's teaching, that people who are gifted teachers. And to some, God gives this gift of teaching. And he says, if your gift is teaching, then you should teach. Let's go on to the next gift that Paul mentioned. How many guys are interested in spiritual gifts? Just give me a hand on that one. Yeah, it's an interesting topic to understand. Paul says this, if your gift is to encourage, can you guys say encourage? If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. This is, some people have a gift of encouragement. And this gift that they have is they long to encourage other people. They love to see them and talk with them and just encourage them of where they are in their life. And as they're using this gift, they're profoundly affected by that. Now, the opposite of encouraging is discouraging. And I just want to go ahead and debunk a myth while we're talking about the gift of encouraging, because I've had probably 100 people over the last 20 years in church tell me that they have the gift of criticism and discouragement. That's a gift. I'm a gifted criticizer, or I'm gifted at discouraging others. And I just want to remind you that there is not a spiritual gift of criticism or discouragement. In fact, I came across this quote this past week. My good friend Jennifer Haga actually read this quote to me. It's amazing. It's from this book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. And here's the quote I want to read to you. This is Mark Batterson, and here's what he says. I think there are basically two types of people in the world, complainers and worshipers. And there isn't much difference between the two. Complainers will always find something to complain about, and worshipers will always find something to praise God about. Simply have different default settings. I want to remind you that there's a gift of encouraging, not a gift of complaining. It's not a gift that's mentioned. I mentioned that I was at the Ohio State game yesterday. Interesting thing about complaining in the Ohio State game, two memories come to mind immediately. The team we played against yesterday only had two first downs the entire game. The second first down that they had, we were up 69-0. And the other team, Florida A&M, they got a first down. People in our section with Ken and I started yelling, "Can you believe that?" They're complaining that up 69-0, they got a first. Couldn't believe it. The complaining was incredible. So there's a gift of encouraging that we see that's there. Now, let me just say something about gifts before I go on to talk about the rest of them. Here's two observations about gifts. Spiritual gifts have a benefit for both the individual as well as the church. And let me explain that. If your gift is encouraging, if this is the gift that you have, then as you use your gift of encouraging, what happens is it has a direct effect on you. As you use the gift that God's given you, you feel closer to God and you feel excited as you use the gift that God gives you. But also, if you're here and you're encouraging, then you're also benefiting the entire church. The church is benefiting from you using that gift. It benefits the individual and the church. But I want you to understand this. The opposite is also true. When spiritual gifts are not utilized, it creates a void for both the individual and the church. Now, let me explain this to you. I mentioned a moment ago about this gift of teaching. There are probably some of you in this room right now, and you have this gift. You are a gifted teacher, and God has gifted you to teach. But right now, it may well be that you're not teaching anything. And if you have a gift of teaching, but you have no place to be teaching anything for God, you're going to feel a void in your life. You're going to feel like something's missing. I have a gift that's not being used, and you're going to feel a void. But also at the same time that you feel a void by not teaching, there are positions in the church where we need a teacher. We need someone to step up and do the teaching. And because no one's stepping up, there's a void both in the individual and also a void in the church. So we want to use our gifts to benefit both ourselves and also the church together as a whole. Let me get back to talking about these gifts. If it's a gift of giving, then give generously. Can you guys say give? Give. Giving is a gift. This is an interesting gift. I got a little box over here. Didn't want you to think we're overemphasizing this one. But here's a little box called giving, and here's the idea about giving. First of all, giving is a responsibility of every Christian. Every Christian is called to give. That's the idea. Giving is a responsibility of every Christian. But historically, the church has taught those with the gift of giving are gifted with God-given abilities to make money and wise investments. And these gifted in this way also have a gift of being generous with what they have. So we've taught historically in the church that the gift of giving is someone who has skill in making money, managing money, and then also a generous heart to give that money for what God is doing in the world. Like I said, giving is a responsibility of every Christian, but this gift of giving is something a little bit different. Let me go on to the next gift. There's two more to go. If your gift is to lead, then do it diligently. The Greek word for lead has two contexts we see here. The word for lead is used in two contexts. Number one, to stand before. This is one who stands out front, is a leader. The second context is to guide. The word in this context speaks of a ship's captain who is called to guide the ship. Now, this is an interesting gift because for many of us here, you might not say that you have the gift of leadership, but you're in a leadership position. In fact, if you're here and you're a father, just raise your hand just for a second. If you're here and you're a father, just raise your hand. Let me tell you, if you're here and you're a father, you're in a leadership position. And whether you feel like a gifted leader or not, you are called to lead. You're called to lead, and you're called to lead in your home. How many of you here, you're a mom? Just raise your hand. You're a mom. If you're a mom, you're also in a position to give leadership to your children. That in your home, first the father and then a mother is there to give leadership in spiritual direction. But also we need those who would lead inside the church to lead all of us together in a diligent way. And that's what Paul says. If you're here to lead, then you should lead diligently. The last gift of all is to show mercy. It says people have a gift of showing mercy. If that's your gift, then you should do it cheerfully. This word for showing mercy, it's a Greek word. It's this word, and here's what it means. John MacArthur says this carries the joint idea of actively demonstrating sympathy for someone else and of having the necessary resources to successfully comfort and strengthen that person. Now, this mercy gift is a very important gift to understand. People who care for others, they have sympathy for someone else. They see them, they love them, they want to care for them. But along with the mercy comes the ability to go and pray for someone or go and be with that person. It's about showing mercy to others. Now, it's complicated talking about spiritual gifts because you never know what combination of gifts a person might have. But let me just give you an example of someone using their gifts and how the church can come together and get some significant work done. The person I'm talking about, I've already mentioned, is Bobby Tucker. You guys remember Bobby was here the last 4 weeks or so leading worship. And several years ago, God put it on Bobby's heart to go to Africa and to plant wells. And so as Bobby was thinking about that and praying about that, he went to our church's mission committee. And he said, hey, Spring Hills Baptist Church Mission Committee, Would you take this trip on and would you say this is a project of our church? And the mission committee voted and they said, yes, we'll endorse this project. And then Bobby began to fundraise towards this trip. He's talking to people in Africa, talking to people in America. He's fundraising. He led worship. He had a concert to raise money and he's telling people about African wells and children with no water. And he's getting support and he's showing gifts of mercy and gifts of leadership and gifts of encouragement. He's working and working. And I'll tell you the truth. I love my friend Bobby, and I was a little worried about him. I was like, Bobby, you're going to go by yourself to Africa? He said, yeah, God's calling me. I'm going to do it. And so Bobby left, and he got on the plane and went to Africa. I've been communicating with him via text, and while he was in Africa, the first Sunday he was in Africa, he went to a little church, and they said, well, now today, Bobby's going to preach. And so he got up, and he preached. People accepted Christ that day in that church. Bobby was going by a Rotary meeting in Africa, and they called him in to speak to all the men that were in Rotary, or it might have been Kiwanis or something like that. And Bobby went in and Bobby spoke. God's giving him opportunities. He worked with a company that drills well, and he worked with them and worked with them. And then I got this picture yesterday, and here's Bobby, and here he is with the two men in Africa. One's the pastor he's been working with. Another is a man there in Africa. There he is right there. And Bobby was able to, through support that we've given him, and he's gotten on his own, he was able to have this company come with this giant machine. And in this village where they don't have any fresh water, where they're walking for miles to get water and bring it back, they drill this well. The well that we're talking about looks like this. And here's a picture of a child drinking out of that well. Amen. Amen. And so we see how, as a church, we're working together with an individual person to see God change the world. Amen. Let me just summarize this passage for you. Romans 12, 3 through 8, verse 3. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't value yourself over other people. Verses 4 and 5. We are one body. Each member belongs to each other. Now I want to just give you two statements here just for a second to think about. Here's sort of two statements. Here's statement number one. I am here for the church to serve me. Or, second statement, I am here to serve the church. And let me tell you, I believe that for all of us, both of those statements are true. That for all of us, there's times when we would say, I am here because I need the church to serve me. I need prayer from the church. I need encouragement. I need to be led in worship and understand God's word. I need the church to serve me. But I think for all of us also, there's a second statement. Not only am I here for the church to serve me, I am here to serve the church, to see God work through all of us because we are one body together. And not just one body, we have gifts. We serve the body of Christ and the world through our spiritual gifts that God gives us. Two questions. Number one, are you gifted? I'm going to ask you and you answer, are you gifted? Yes, you're gifted. All of us have these gifts that we see that God gives to us. But here's the second question. Are you serving? Are you using the gifts God's given you to serve the church and the world? Now, in our church, we have something unique that happens. We have counted up our volunteers, and we have over 450 people volunteering in the various ministries in our church. How about a hand for that? That's an amazing and an awesome thing. So I want you to take this card out for a second that you got there in front of you. And you may want to write your name and some info at the bottom in just a moment. But I want you to look at this card. Because I want you to think for a moment about where you're already serving or if God is calling you to use your gifts in a new place. If you might have identified that you think you might have the gift of serving, here's some places you could help. You could use your gifts in the Awana ministry, in the book ministry, the Connection Cafe. Celebrate Recovery Youth needs some volunteers. We're going to have Eternity, a big evangelism production. We need people to work at the altars with those who have just received Christ. Our host team, Journeyland Ministry, our preschool ministry, or maybe you're already serving. And if you're already serving, I'd love for you just to write in. I'm currently using my gift of serving. And you can write in right there where you're already serving. The next category is teaching. Maybe you had the gift of teaching, but you're not teaching anywhere. Here's a place we have need for a teacher. Eternity, Evangelism Outreach Team, I just mentioned that. We need teachers in preschool, teachers in Journeyland. Maybe you're already teaching. You can put that right there. Encouraging. Maybe you have a gift of encouraging. Here's some places you can serve. We have a Care Notes ministry. This is people who write notes to others who are struggling and having a difficult time, or even more than writing a note. We have a congregational care team, and these actually visit people in the hospital or nursing homes or other places. Maybe you want to get involved in encouraging in that way. Again, the Eternity Evangelism Outreach Team needs support. The host team needs some support. Or maybe you're already serving and you want to write that in right there. Giving, there's two categories. I am currently give financially, or secondly, I currently tithe. A tithe is giving 10% of your income back to God. It's a biblical principle that we endorse, giving back to God. And then showing mercy. The congregational care team shows mercy by visiting people in nursing homes and hospitals. Maybe you're already involved in sharing mercy. So why don't you do this just for a moment? Write your name down there, your email. And then fill in what place you're already serving. Or if God's leading you right now, just go ahead and check a box where you're not yet serving, where God can begin to work and begin to use you and the gifts that you have. The praise team is going to come back in a second. And just take a second and fill out this card. You guys all look beautiful today, by the way. Just want to mention that as you're filling those cards out there. I didn't want to stack the gifts too high because you couldn't see me if I, you know, kept going. Right. Go ahead and just take a moment. Fill those cards out. You can still see me? It's good. Yeah. Even now. Yeah. Okay, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Keep filling that out if you're not quite done yet, but let's just pray. Come on up, praise team. You guys can come up. Father God, we thank you for the over 450 people who are volunteering already in our church. And Father, we thank you that you've given us gifts, that we could use the gifts that we have to serve each other because we are one body together. Father, we thank you for these gifts of prophecy, of serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And Father, I pray you would give us opportunities to use these gifts to serve each other. And Father, we thank you and praise you for this time to investigate and talk about spiritual gifts. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Now keep your heads bowed for 1 second. I just want to give you one more piece of information. After you fill out this card with where you're already serving or perhaps putting a new place to serve, I'm going to ask you to bring this card up to the altar, to place it down on the altar, to put your hand on the card and just pray. Pray for our church. Pray for where God might use you or where God might lead you. And just take a moment and pray that your gifts could be used in the church and the world for people to come to know Christ. After you're done praying, just leave that card up there on the altar, but come on up, jump down on your knees, and have some time just praying together about this. So if you already filled your card out, you can come even now. I'm going to go right now. Come on up, find a place, kneel up here, pray over your card, and then leave your card up on the altar. Come on up right now. They're going to begin to play with the praise team, and you can just come and leave your card up here. Father, we thank you for all the gifts that you've given to us. Father, we thank you that we're one body working together to accomplish the mission of making disciples and teaching them to obey everything that you've commanded us. Father, I pray that our gifts can come together to give you glory as we advance your purpose in the world. We thank you, we praise you, and Father, we give you this day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In your name we pray, and all say, amen. Amen. Hey, just want to say a couple more things real fast. If it's your first time today, we have a gift for you. It's a cup. It looks like there's little bags actually in the back. We'd love you to go back for your first time here and get a bag back there and be part of that. Second of all, we do have a healing prayer team in the prayer room back there. If you want prayer for anything, go back and they'll pray for you. And then last of all, I do want to just mention, we have, as part of our church ministry, we have two amazing schools, Sunshine School, Granville Christian Academy. How about a hand for those schools if you guys don't mind? And there are literally hundreds of volunteers with both those schools that are also working and doing God's will together. So you guys are amazing. I will see you next week. God bless all of you and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.